Good morning, family. Definitely good to see us here this morning, and we hope, trust, and pray if you're visiting with us that you know that you're an honored guest, and we're glad to be here with you. Before I forget, please keep Sister Sharon Huff in your prayers. She called me last night, and she failed yesterday and broke her hip. So she's in Thank Stanley, or whatever they call her now, Atrium Stanley. She hadn't decided whether surgery was there. Are they going to do surgery yet? I hadn't talked to her this morning, but talked to her for a couple of times yesterday, just checking on her when she called and let me know that. Also glad to have Sister Sarah Vance back with us, and she's been under the weather and had some minor surgery, and Jean and so many other ones that are here, and Chris. And it's that time of year where there's a lot of sickness going around. We just be careful, as I like to say. Don't be scared. Just be careful. Be mindful of those things that we're dealing with, but also never, ever live your life in fear. God never gave us a spirit of fear.
Got something else. Do it every other week. I think I'm going to put this thing in the metrics around to keep up with it.
There we go. My subject title this morning Well, there we go. I got everything mixed up this morning, so y'all forgive me. Because I think I forgot to move my slide to the front, my song slide. God's keepsakes. You may say, well, what in the world does that have to do with a lesson? When you think about what a keepsake is, and I'm going to give you this one a little bit longer, as we enter this holiday season, you know, a lot of folks are so excited. You know, some folks like to get out in the hustle and bustle of shopping. You know, you got young ones who are just so excited for gifts. But I guess the older I get, the more I understand what's important. I go back to my own childhood, and I had a wonderful family, still have a wonderful family, but you know what? I can't tell you what I got for Christmas in 1981, but I can tell you who was there. I can't remember if I got everything on my wish list when I was 8 years old in 1979, but I can remember waking up and smelling Christmas being cooked, or dinner being cooked. I can't tell you what I got when I was a teenager, became a teenager, every gift that I got. But I do remember going next door, because I grew up next to my grandmother, and a whole house full of people just glad to be around one another. I think sometimes we major in minors. I think sometimes at this time of year, and it's great to do these things, but what's most really important at this time? You know, we live in a world, and we know, just giving you a little bit of background here, so I won't go too much in detail. I may tell you about it a little bit next week. But, you know, you think about this season, or the Christmas season, so to speak. It seems like everybody's excited. But I wonder if they're focusing on the right things. Gift giving is nice. Cards are nice. Christmas parties are nice. But who gets left out? We say it's his birthday, and we know what word says. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, well, prove it to me. I said, I'm going to prove it to you. I said, now, keep in mind, follow me through the book of Luke. And I said, you know what? Luke, Christ was actually 5 months younger than John. John was born around Passover. Passover happened in about March, April. 5 months from that is not December 25th. So we know, let's look at the scriptures and other things, this is not the time of year that he was born. Many of the customs and traditions that we follow have pagan backgrounds or pagan origins. And I understand what Christians did in their best efforts. They did what they could, and they said if we can't beat them, we can join them. So they began to change many of the things that were set aside to worship pagan gods and idols and give them a religious meaning. I got that point, but you know, and we all do these things. In some form of fashion, we all observe this time of year. I tell folks every year, and I tell it here every year that, you know, I'm not going to work over Christmas break. You can call it what you want to. I'm not going to be there. I'm just going to be enjoying my family. So we enjoy it in some form of fashion. The Bible also talks about not judging anyone over the keeping of holy days. But as we go into this season, I think this is a time for Christians to really step out and show. I don't know about you, but it seems like everybody around me, folks that you know, have no desire to serve Christ and show it in their life or anything like that, but sometimes they go around, they got the brightest house on the block. They got the biggest trees and everything else, and somehow they believe that that's worshiping God the way he has commanded. Somehow they believe that's what pleases God, but going back to my original lessons. But I do remember some things that I got. I remember my grandmother, and she didn't have a lot, and she used to crochet a lot. I remember the blanket that she gave me. Not necessarily that it's worth a lot of money, because it's probably worth, in a day's time, maybe $5 or $10. But I remember seeing her with arthritic fingers putting it together for me and saying, here you go, son. I don't have a lot to give, but here you go, son. That's the definition of a keepsake. Something they give you that really means a lot, that may mean a lot to anybody else. So in preparing my lesson and thinking about my lesson today, I wonder, what does God consider keepsakes? Does he consider the holiday season as a keepsake? Because most folks in the world are saying, this is the birth of Christ, and that's it. And then come December the 26th, they go back to normal life. You know, I wonder if that's their mindset of a keepsake, because keepsakes don't always have monetary value. But oh my goodness, the meaning. And think about some of the keepsakes you have in your life. It could be an old picture. It could be something. It could be an old, you know, pocket watch. It could be an old brooch, so to speak, that somebody in your family gave you that every time you look at it, every time you think about it, you think of them. And not just them. And I know sometimes, if you're like myself, I'm getting older. We lost a lot of folks in our family this year, and the circle is indeed getting smaller. So I'm not more concerned about just gifts. I'm thinking about the loved ones that I care about in life and making sure I give them the most valuable thing I can, which is my time and my love. Oftentimes, at times like this, because I'm pretty sure there's some parent wearing all the hair out of their head because they can't get everything on that child's list. And I'm pretty sure there's some child saying, if I don't get everything on this list, my mom and dad don't love me. I know that. They can't love me because I asked for 15 things on this list. And I don't care if I got to eat next month. I don't care if the lights got to stay on. I don't care if I got to pay a mortgage and you know, keep clothes on your back. All I want is what I want. And there's some parents saying, oh, you know what, I'm not a good parent. And, you know, I can only afford this because, you know, they said this. And they don't wear off-name stuff and off-brand stuff. And, you know, this toy they really want. I know it costs more than I make in a month, but I'm going to get it for my child. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes these things end up broke by New Year's Day. Now, I'm not saying we don't do these things. There's nothing wrong with it. But I wonder if we're teaching sometimes the wrong message. Because as I get older, I think about the memories. I think about the love that I experienced. I think about the joy. And we didn't come from a rich family. Most folks in here that I know, they came from meager backgrounds. But I can guarantee you what they remember and what you remember is love, those folks that were there, those folks who mattered. More importantly, those folks who aren't there now. And maybe spending more time with them if you could. Maybe thinking about some things and maybe patching up an old problem, an old circumstance before they leave here. Maybe somebody you hadn't talked to in a while, just reaching out to them. Maybe instead of giving them gift, give them your time with a phone call. Give them your time by, you know, we don't sit on front porches anymore. And, you know, we didn't have a front porch. Well, we had a carport, and that was really our front porch. But, man, the conversation that was had out there. The times I remember seeing my grandmother just sitting there, just looking at the sky, and I'm like, what's she just doing? What, you ain't got nothing else better to do? That's what I was thinking in my mind when I was 12 or 13. You just sitting there wasting time, Grandma. Matter of fact, you ain't watching the time. You watching to see what I do, trying to get me in trouble. That's what I was thinking. But just slowing down in life sometimes, just enjoying nature, enjoying the season. And at times like this, in a season like this, we got to always remember to pump the brakes a little bit. Don't take it for granted, because it could be gone tomorrow. Don't take your family for granted, because they cannot be tomorrow, or you may not be amongst them the next year around this time. Don't even take your friends for granted. As we go into this holiday season and it hits full bloom right about now, I wonder, what about us? Again, this is the holiday season. So much fun, laughing, expectation, giving of gifts, a tradition during this time of year, but many leave God out. Making memories is truly what this year of time should be. And you may can't afford to give them everything they want, but do you give them love? There's some folks in this world that all they ask for is love. where you take time. It seems like this time of year, folks just throwing foods and gifts at you, running you down with them. And I wonder, do we realize that folks still hungry in February? I wonder, do we really realize that folks still naked in June? I wonder, do we realize that that person who's lost a loved one, this ain't a fun time of year for them. It's a hard time of year for them as they think back to the memories that were made. Just some of the things that we can improve upon. I'm getting the patience of the wise. We're talking about gift giving. There we go. Think about the story of the wise men. As folks erroneously say there was three wise men. No, it wasn't three wise men. They brought three gifts. Sticking with scripture now. Teaching a little bit of truth as I go along. But they brought something to what we call the newborn king and what the world calls the newborn king. And he was. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These were the most expensive, some of the most expensive items this world had to offer. Myrrh and frankincense and those type of issues. But what can we give God as a keepsake? These folks who did these things, who were considered the Magi at this point in time, they brought the most precious thing they have. And it was earthly things. But as I think about it, what does God consider a keepsake? A keepsake, in its original definition, or simplest definition, is a small item kept in memory of the person who gave it or who originally owned it. Read that again. A keepsake, simple definition, is a small item kept in memory of the person who gave it or who originally owned it. God gave us his best keepsake, his Lord, his Son, Jesus Christ. But how do we keep that keepsake? Now think about, you know, the strain and the comfort and the effort we go to making sure that the keepsakes that we held, sometimes we put them in, you know, safe deposit vaults or safe deposit boxes or vaults in the bank and all these things. And, you know, sometimes they in, you know, plaques and sometimes they in, you know, certain cabinets can't nobody go into. And I wonder, do we treat Christ the same way? That's the most precious thing that God can give us. But in return of that, what do we give God? Is it just enough to give God, what, 12 days of Christmas, as some folks say, or 25th, the day after Christmas, the day after Thanksgiving, the day after Christmas? Is that what's most important? Put your stuff up, go back to your normal life. Is that what he's concerned about, that at this point in time everybody's saying, yeah, yeah, Jesus was born? They never think about he was born for a reason, to die for our sins, because that's the end of that story. Going back to even looking at history and tradition, understand this, that during the biblical times, the time, New Testament times, they never really celebrated the birth of somebody. It was more important to celebrate the death. And as I think about what people are doing today, it's so easy to accept a baby in a manger. But a Savior on the cross, that's a different story, because we got to do something with him then. Everybody loves babies. I know I do. I love babies and kids, and we just love to hold them and hold them, pinch the cheeks and kiss on them and love on them. And I imagine Christ got some of the same feeling, but one of them same folks were there at the cross. Because he had some relatives living at that time that when he was in town. I mean, where were they at? They flocked to the manger, but they ran from the cross. People are doing that today. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, a theme scripture. Man, time is flying by. I'm going to take my time with this, and I still won't be long when I take my time with it because I set it up that way. And we're going to begin at verse number 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says this. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. They that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. God has entrusted us with something that's so precious. What do we give God as our keepsake? You know, we sung a song, used to sing a song, or people sing the song still down this rap, you know, about the little drummer boy. One of the verses goes, I have no gift to give. Ba-rum-pa-pum-bum. Well, I don't know how it goes. I'm not very musically talented, but it just reminds me of some things that that song kind of says. But do we really not have anything to give God? I beg to differ. So we're going to go over some things that are God's keepsake. First of all, God's keepsake is he wants us to keep our hearts pure. Proverbs 4:33 says, for out of the heart flow the issues of life. So what is your heart? It's not this thing that's pumping in your chest. That's just a physical thing that keeps us alive, but that's not the heart that's mentioned in the Bible in the vast majority of situations. Our heart is what we believe with. Romans 10, verse 10. Our heart also is what we think with. Matthew 9 and 4. Our heart is also what we reason with. Luke 5 and 22. Are you trying to keep your hearts pure today? Your mind pure? Are you focused on him each and every day? Do you wake up with the mindset to serve Christ? Kind of ties into my lesson last week when we are called to be to grow up into the image of Christ. That is the goal of every Christian, to be more like Christ every day. Amen. Is that your goal? Because that's what God wants to keep. That's what he honors. He doesn't honor just us just throwing lavishly rich gifts at him. He doesn't honor us because we build big cathedrals and have stained glass windows. That's not what honors God. What honors him is doing what he asks us to do. Giving him our hearts. Giving him our minds. Letting him, the word of God, transform my thought process. Because all those other things are easy. We can gather. We can do enough fundraising to build us a huge building with stained glass windows and the latest state-of-the-art technology and all those things and have a rock concert. But is that what God is all concerned about? When his son came into the world with no possessions, when Christ throughout his life and his adult life, he didn't even have a home to call his home. And this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What is God concerned about? What does God consider keepsake? That's one of them. Number two, we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. We accomplish this by walking in the light of Jesus. This Christian thing is an everyday thing. It's not something that you put on and put off. It's not something you do when you're here gathered together, but when you're around friends and other family members, they can't tell you a Christian because you don't act like it. Your speech bears witness that you're not really allowing God to take over the speech in your life. Your thought life, you out there drinking and cursing with the rest of them, and how that's supposed to work? And what is God supposed to do with that? Some folks think about. We accomplish this. We do this based on our love of God. And when we talk about keeping his commandments, we had a wonderful study on this a couple of weeks ago, you know, about the things that he commands us to do. Are they just things that make our life miserable? No, when God asks us to do these things, if you're motivated out of love, that should be, if I love God, I'm going to give him what he asked me to give. So it's not just some ordinance written in a book for me to keep or make my life miserable. It is for me to understand that, God, this is how I'm showing you my love for you, because you've told me how to love you. You've told me what you accepted, so I happily do it. It's not a burden to me. Because love is more than a warm, bubbly feeling. But if you love him, what's the problem with worshiping as he has commanded? If you love him. Because you can't disconnect those two things. Because even in John 4:24, it says we must worship him in spirit and truth. Which one do you get a chance to leave out? The spirit of love, yes, but if there's no truth, is it really love? But go back to the motivation why we do it. We do it because we love him. We treat our others better than ourselves because we love them. We do things that are uncomfortable for us because we love each other. We put ourselves in situations because we love one another. Should God expect anything less? We do this by learning to love the brethren as we should. You may say, well, I do that. But I'm asking, do you really love each other? Do you really? And that's something you got to ask yourself personally. Because some of us just tolerate each other. Just laying it out there. Ride when you want to. If not, jump off at the next stop. Do you really love them? Now, I mean, love them doesn't mean that you give them everything. I'm talking about, do you love their souls? Do you love them enough to reach out to them when they strayed away? Do you love me enough to tell me when I'm going wrong? Do you love me enough to encourage me when you see I'm weak and I'm struggling? Do we love one another? We keep ourselves in love with God by learning to love our enemies. And this is something we all struggle with. We say, you know what? Enemy don't love me? I don't have to love him. But your Bible and mine says we're to love our enemies. We're to pray for those who persecute us and spitefully use us, not, you know, detest them, not saying they're worse than the worst. That's not what my Bible and your Bible teaches under the law of love and mercy, grace and mercy. Because when we start doing that with others, God starts doing that with us. I don't know about you. There ain't nobody in this world I ain't trying to forgive, because at that point in time, I know I got so much stuff that God got to forgive me of. I want him to forgive me of. Not got to, but I want him to forgive me of. So how in the world can I get mad at Grady because he stepped on my shoe and I done so much worse to God? How in the world can I hold a grudge against anybody when God doesn't hold a grudge against me? We play games. He wants us to keep ourselves in love of God. Point number three, he wants us to keep ourselves from idols. 1 John 1 and 21, and this really, really hits home this time of year. Idols are anything we put before God, meaning our lives, holidays like Christmas, but it was never commanded to observe in the first place in the Bible. It was originally all pagan holidays worshiping out of gods. The same thing kind of happens today. Please, during this time of year, don't make something else your idol. Don't do that. God doesn't deserve that. It hurts him when we do. Well, God, I know this, but, you know, this time of year, this is such, and this is more important than, what's more important than God? We to keep ourselves from idols. And this is a thing we have to purposely do, because idols kind of sneak in unawares. You'd be surprised how you got up idols and you don't even realize it because you've been looking at them so long. Somebody else comes in, according to God's word, to idols, but we just say that's how we are. We just say, I got a busy schedule. We just say, I got too many other irons in the fire to give you my time, God. But really what we're really saying when we take it off, take all the clothes off of it, is that we got idols in our life we need to tear down. And the only way we please God, because he's not going to be on the same shelf with idols. Y'all know that, right? He never has, never will. He's either first place or no place. Times like this, instead of reflecting on the idols in life, we need to reflect on God for who he is and put him back as first in our lives. Point number four, we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. What I mean by that is, stop majoring in minors. What I mean by minors, you don't understand, this world's always been in bad condition. That's right. There's always been crooked governments. There's always been people who don't do right. There's always people who don't live. There's always been sin in the world. It's going to be that way till Jesus come back. And ain't nothing going to change it. New government ain't going to change it. New leader ain't going to change it. The only thing that changes is Jesus. Him and him crucified. So why do we spend so much time on those things instead of on what's most important? Seeking and saving the lost. That's what's most important. We keep ourselves. We're not to be like the world. We don't get too attached to things in this world. Money, cars, gifts, leisure activities, etc. We're not to do these things. We're not to become entangled in this world again and say we can serve both God and mammon, because we can't according to God's word. God keeps his gifts. We keep his commandments. Number five, obedience. Let me say this again. Obedience is always better than sacrifice. I'm sacrificing a lot, but it's according to his word. He told Saul that, right? Yeah. He told Saul, if you did everything I asked, why he these sheep baying in the background? That's what the prophet told him. Why am I still hearing this noise? If you and I have God first, why all this background noise? Now, your Bible said I didn't say it, but then we got to realize, have we done what he asked us to do? Now, Saul tried to justify it and said, well, you know, at least I kept the best and these people, but you the leader. Now, let me look at that in a more individual sense. You determine what you do with your life and time. That's right. You do. So how everybody else pulling you away from God? When you determine that. You spend time, we spend time on any and everything we make a priority except the things of God. Do we have idols? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, we do. Many are sacrificing the name of Jesus on December 25th, but won't obey him the other 364 days of the year. You think he's concerned about one day? Not even one day, maybe about 2 hours till all the gifts get open and gone? Maybe 4 hours if you got family over? Maybe 5 hours you use that other hour to clean up? Maybe 7 hours after you take your nap and you get up? Is that what he's just concerned about? The Christian life is more than a season of giving. And we need to be careful about using that mindset, because we need to be following what the world says. The Christian life is a life of giving, not a season of giving. What if God just gave us for a season? I'm glad he didn't, because my season already over with. He keeps giving. We ought to keep giving and have that mindset. It is a life of obedience and love of Jesus that God considers a keepsake. Keeping God's commands, why? It's our whole duty. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Think about this now. We cannot enter heaven without obeying God. It's impossible. Obedience is a test and proof of our love of Christ. John 14 and 15. And then it says this. By this we know him if we keep his commandments. I know Christ, but you're not keeping his commandments. Well, your Bible and mine says you don't really know him. You know of him. Last one is, we're to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, there are seven unities mentioned here. Keeping all of these is what pleases God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one Father, and the rest of them, and you read them at your leisure, but are we striving to keep all of these? God said one, he meant exactly what he said by one. He meant that. He didn't say one at a time. He said one. Are we doing these things in our life? And then it says it's a striving, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. It is an effort. It is a conscious effort. It requires purposeful, diligent effort. We're to strive for this thing. We're to fight for peace. And we understand it won't be in the world, but we should fight for peace with Christ. That should be our fight. If you're looking for peace in this world and everybody hold hands and sing kumbaya, it ain't ever going to happen. But you can have peace with your master. You can have peace with him, and that's the only peace that really matters in the end. Because when you have peace with him, it already means by default you're going to be at enmity with the rest of the world. Understand that. When you have peace with God, the enemy is going to be, your world is going to be turned upside down. But it's okay. Because you have peace with God. Many folks are striving to do peace in the Middle East, and that ain't ever going to happen. Stop. Get a little bit more peaceful, but really peace, it ain't going to happen. Them folks been fighting since Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. And you and I ain't going to stop it in 2022, 2026, or 2022-26, whatever it is. It's not going to happen. But more importantly, let's be concerned about peace with God. As we think about the peace that came to this world, you know, we see that with Christ and the birth of Christ, so we're definitely glad that he was born, but he came to bring peace on earth, and not in a material sense, but peace because of sin in our lives. The peace on earth is not everybody getting along. The peace means now we have a way to have peace with God because he came for the forgiveness of our sins. That's what should be focused on most in this world. We've seen, you know, peace on earth, and you see these signs and then on postcards and everything else. And I'm thinking about the only peace I'm concerned about is my peace with God. It's great to have peace with everybody. I'm going to strive for it, but that's a two-way street. I can strive to have peace with Chad, but if he don't have peace with me, then there ain't going to be no peace. But I can have peace with God. And that's what we should be most focused on. We have to strive for it. And in conclusion, keepsakes often don't have a lot of monetary value. When you add all these things up, they don't have any monetary value. Keeping God first, obeying his commandments, you know, keeping yourself in the love of God, all these things to the world are worthless. Now go back to our keepsakes. There's something to you, and it's sometimes, I remember some of the things that, you know, the near and dear to my, you know, Jasmine and Brandon were younger. You know, some of the things they did, you know, some of the gifts, some of the cards. And yeah, the words are spelled wrong, and yeah, I could barely read them, but I look at them, and it sometimes brings tears to my eyes, because I think about a time when they were younger. I think about a time when they were, I'm glad they're growing up, but, you know, still miss my kids at home. I still do. They ain't the same. Life does that to us, but it takes me back to a place. When I was looking at a snaggletooth Brandon and a Jasmine with one bow in the hair. I think about those times. I think about the fact of, God, you blessed me with these folks. So it's not necessarily the gifts, but it reminds me of these things. Not a whole lot of money to anybody else, but oh, it means the world to me and my wife, Regina. But they are often given in love and respect. Understand this, we can never match God's giving. God never asked us to match his giving. He just asked us to give what we have. That's what he asked us. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, we're to make our whole bodies a living sacrifice, which is only our reasonable duty. Because God has given us so much. Going back to the example, you know, sometime when we're older adults and we can buy expensive things, you ever got a gift at this time of year that you could tell it didn't cost a lot, but it meant a lot because of who it came from and the effort they put? You ever get gifts like that? I don't know about you, but they oftentimes mean more to me than something that costs $500-$600. And I appreciate those things too, and I'm not saying not belittling those things. I'm talking about things that really mean something. I'm talking about maybe somebody coming to me, and I was having a bad day, and they just put a smile on my face. You didn't have a clue what I was going through, but it took time out to call me and check on me. I'm talking about a situation where when I think about a certain thing, I think about a laugh that I had over a certain situation, something that was funny that made me laugh when I really didn't want to laugh. I'm thinking about things like that. I'm thinking about, you know, the smell of the house with all that good food cooking. I ain't talking about chitlins either, so I don't do chitlins. I'm talking about the smell of cake cooking or the smell of breakfast being made or the smell of, you know, things in the house that brings it up. You know, sometimes it's not even pleasant smell to somebody. I'm thinking about some of that old green liniment my grandma used to wear. And you know that horse liniment don't smell good. But that's what she was doing so that she could move around and enjoy her day. I'm thinking about things like that. I'm thinking about, you know, the old raggedy blankets and stuff that they had that kept them warm, that now we have heat pumps, but they had wood stoves, and sometimes they ran out of wood, and they had to cover up and bundle up and whatever they had. I'm thinking about, I live in a house that's got two stories, but I'm thinking about the stories I was told that, you know, that you could see chickens walking through your floor, and that's all the best they could do. I'm thinking about a situation where, you know, we have two or three cars, but they would travel only in a horse and buggy to get back and forth. I'm thinking about all these things to help us focus on what's most important during this time of year. God loves our keepsakes, and that don't mean a lot to the world, but they mean the world to him. Let us be busy about storing up treasures in heaven. That's what it says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 19, I believe, and 20. It says, you know, you do these things, not for this world. You're rich and really good. Don't be high-minded towards them. Don't consider yourself better than anybody because you got more zeros in your bank account, because you can buy and purchase more things. You're no different than nobody else. But what Ma's most concerned about is what we give him as keepsake. He honors all these things and many more. I could go on about lessons like this forever, but I won't keep you long. I told you I wouldn't, and my time is up. But as we go into this season, please understand this, enjoy it, but let's make sure we focus on the right things. Make sure that we're letting folks know that we love them. Make sure that we don't feel bad when we can't get folks because we don't have the means to do it, what they exactly asked for. Don't be mad when sometimes you get the same gift 2 years in a row. Don't be mad if you get re-gifted. I'm just laying it out there. Because I ain't taking this because I, you know. Why? If you focus on something else, I'm just being honest. Just being honest. That's all I'm doing. What's most important? What's important is I can see you smile. What's most important is I can see you have you with me. What's most important is I can tell you Merry Christmas, a happy holiday, and you hear it and respond back. Let's not lose focus on what it's about. And this is a great time of year. And at least I'd like to say that kind of, at least at this point in time, they have some folks thinking about Jesus. So it's not all bad. I understand how it started. But at least some they're recognizing that somebody special came into this world. But let's not be like the rest of the world and just say that's it. We need to thank Jesus for his birth every day. Now, I've done it. I hadn't done it here, and I thought about doing it about 2 or 3 months ago, but it slipped my mind. I know I did in New London. I did it up there, and it was about maybe August or September. I sung Joy to the World. Now, most folks didn't have a problem with it, but I had some visitors that was like, you got your calendar? This ain't Christmas season, so why I got to wait till Christmas to sing Joy to the World? Why do you have to wait? Why you put yourself in those restrictions? We do stuff like that. Well, you know what? I can't sing it because it's not. Who said so? So it's not a Joy to the World in September? Then he came into the world? Think about how we bow down and conform ourselves to these world's restrictions. We ought not do that as Christians. We understand that it's a joy to the world every day that Christ came into this world. Not based on what comes on the radio, But every day is a joy to the world that he came in. We need to be about men, because then we set about and let the world know that we're different. We ought to be different because we serve a Lord and Savior who we ought to love and cherish every day, not just a period or a season of giving, as many folks have termed it. What must you do to be saved? You must hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of our sins, place us into Christ Jesus, and from time to time, we don't measure up. And from time to time, we get lost in the shuffle. I've been there before. I'm guilty of it. That's why I'm up here, and I'm already repenting of it, because I've been in some situations, and I remember some times when I was so stressed out that I didn't enjoy what was before me. I was concerned about my bank account. I was concerned about getting everybody on my list gifts, and the biggest gift I could have given them was me. There were times in my life that I was so burned out that I didn't even enjoy my time off. There were times when I took for granted that somebody was going to be here next year, and then they're not here. I took for granted that. Maybe you did. I did. And I look back and now I'm like, what in the world was I thinking to just automatically assume this is going to happen? Lot call them tomorrow, and they're not here tomorrow. Lot reach out to them next week, and they're not here. Let us focus on every day being a gift. And if we give every day to God and live it as we've been, we're giving him the greatest gift that he'll ever ask for, dedicating our lives to serve him each and every day. Let's make that our mission as we stand and sing a verse of...